The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, of course, you will be well aware at this stage that Donald Trump has been found guilty of 34 charges in his hush money trial. It hasn't stopped him going straight back out on the campaign trail, because campaigning is exactly what his quote unquote press conference was a little bit earlier. But how does this scandal compare to previous presidential scandals? Well, our own Simon Tierney has been investigating. Where will we start, Simon?
Oh, there's so many options here. I mean, what's interesting, I think, about presidential scandals in general, Kieran, is that the presidents themselves often tend to be the architects of their own downfall, and not necessarily for the initial perceived crime. It's often about doubling down on a crime or a cover-up.
The cover-up.
In some sense. That often is what gets them ultimately. Let's start, I suppose, with one that people might be familiar with vaguely, because it's, 25 years ago now? Mm-hmm. That of Bill Clinton's infidelity in the White House.
Let's take a listen to Bill Clinton.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
So, quite categorical there. He did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah, so people forget what was the reason for the impeachment. Was it because he had an affair with somebody? No. If he had had an affair and admitted it, he probably wouldn't have been impeached. But this is a classic example of a president digging a hole bigger than it needed to be in the first place. He said in that clip at a news conference in January of 1998 that he didn't have sexual relations with the 26-year-old intern, Monica Lewinsky. But of course he had. So the problem became, well, did he or did he not lie to the American people? And of course he did. And it's that lie which became the root of his problem, really.
And the impeachment process as well, because it got referred to quite a bit during Donald Trump's presidency. You know, people were casting their minds back to it. What was the outcome of it?
Well, the outcome of the impeachment was that he didn't get convicted, because the way impeachment processes work is that it first goes to the House and then they decide whether to pass the impeachment resolution or not. And then it goes to the Senate chamber. And that's, of course, much harder to get through at that point, because I think you need a two-thirds majority or something like that to convict. And that's how the president would lose their job. But of course, Bill Clinton didn't. And neither did Donald Trump, of course, when he was impeached 2 decades later.
That was a scandal. So that, I guess we could say, despite the fact that he got caught out in his lie and that there was an impeachment process, that Bill Clinton survived it in the sense that, you know, he continued in the job. And I mean, it is a cloud that hangs over his presidency and his reputation.
Well, I think it's been reevaluated.
Cloud has grown, if we put it that way.
But I mean, in the last 2 years of his presidency, his poll numbers went up, if anything.
He
became quite a popular president, and he kind of drew himself as the victim, which of course he wasn't. The victim in that case was Monica Lewinsky, who in the balance of power was, you know, an intern, as I say, much, much younger, with very little agency. So I think it's right that that scandal has been reevaluated in more recent years.
Will we go back a bit further in time then? Back to the 1970s?
Yeah, let's go to the 70s, because I was just thinking there, the way first families articulate these scandals is really interesting. And there's actually a lot in common. So when the Monica Lewinsky thing passed, Hillary Clinton was being interviewed on one of the morning talk shows. And she said, you know, ever since my husband, she stood by him, of course, all the time. She said, ever since my husband became president, there's been a vast right-wing conspiracy to take him down. And then we go back to the early 1970s. And when the Pentagon Papers were published in the New York Times, Richard Nixon, who was president, became convinced that there was a vast left-wing conspiracy trying to topple his presidency. And Donald Trump is saying the exact same thing today, that there is a vast radical left conspiracy to down him.
Right. Remind me of the story then.
Well, the Pentagon Papers is a really interesting one, because without that, you can't really understand Watergate. It's more famous cousin in the pantheon of scandals. The Pentagon Papers were a series of documents that were commissioned by Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara, who was under President Lyndon Johnson in the mid-1960s, to kind of chart the history of American involvement in Vietnam, formerly Indochina under the French. And Daniel Ellsberg is a name that often comes up in relation to this scandal. He decided to blow the whistle on this. He was one of the writers of the documents, and he realized that there is such an amount of material here that the American people don't know about. They don't know just how extensive American involvement in this war was, and that it happened much earlier than people had thought, that this needs to become public knowledge. So he pulled an Edward Snowden on it, and he released those documents to the New York Times. Now, the reason why it became a scandal is because Richard Nixon had become president, and the scandal actually wasn't about him, because it covered everything up to the beginning of his presidency. If anything, it indicted his predecessor, Lyndon B. Johnson. But it became embarrassing for Richard Nixon, because he was losing control of this situation. The government had tried to stop the New York Times from publishing these top secret documents, and they had failed. And it became really the beginning of Richard Nixon's crimes, that being that he ordered the break-in to Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, Kieran, because this, of course, predates Watergate, which,
yes,
again, was a break-in. So Richard Nixon, by the time Watergate came around,
he's got
really
form.
He had form. And he knew what he was at.
So he, much like Bill Clinton, I mean, Nixon survived the Pentagon Papers scandal.
He did.
He had come out the other side. And if not for Watergate, I mean, we would be talking about it in that context. Another president who survived to serve out the rest of his years.
Yeah,
unblemished.
But he didn't survive Watergate,
no,
which happened afterwards. And the reason he didn't survive Watergate is because he lied, just like Bill Clinton would a couple of decades later. So what happened there, Kieran, is that after the Daniel Ellsberg case, Nixon became deeply paranoid about his perceived enemies, and he decided to basically tap his own phones. He recorded every single telephone conversation and every conversation that happened in the Oval Office, ending up with this vast treasure trove of evidence for future prosecutors to bring him down. And when the Watergate break-in happened, this, of course, was the break-in to the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C., in order to kind of find out what the Democrats were up to in the run-up to the 1972 election. John Mitchell, the Attorney General, had ordered this. It wasn't clear, actually, if Richard Nixon directly had any responsibility for that, but Nixon became implicated because he decided to double down and say that this that he had no involvement in it. But then when the tapes were released, the so-called smoking gun tape in 1972, it was revealed that he had indeed ordered a massive cover-up of the scandal, which he was lying about. And he did have to leave the presidency. Of course, he wasn't impeached because
He resigned. Yes, he resigned. So a scandal that a president did not survive. Here is Richard Nixon resigning.
To continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
Okay, so he didn't survive it. We've talked about Bill Clinton. He did survive the Monica Lewinsky scandal. JFK didn't survive to see the end of his presidency, but he survived an awful lot of scandal swirling around him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, there's always been rumours about JFK's infidelities over the years. Very charming, handsome devil, as we say in this part of the world. Was any of it true?
A rogue.
What's really interesting is that JFK really tried to paint himself as the perfect family man. You know, you look at photographs of the Oval Office, he was the first president to have photographs of his children taken.
Hiding under the desk, on the phone, all that kind of thing.
So he was really painting himself as the kind of the progressive modern father of the mid-century. But lurking behind that external image was something different. What's probably on most people's minds in relation to those scandals is Marilyn Monroe. Mm. So there was a biography written in 2013 by Christopher Anderson, and he claims that JFK used to meet Marilyn Monroe at Bing Crosby's residence in Palm Springs in Southern California during the presidential years. Now, how do we corroborate something like this? There's a really famous event that took place in 1962, and you can watch this on YouTube, and it's an incredible piece of footage, Kieran, because it was a celebration by the Democrats of JFK's birthday party. Yeah. And who did they invite to sing Happy Birthday? Only Marilyn Monroe, who tragically would go on to die only 3 months later. This is 1962. But it's worth watching again because the way she sings it on top of the piano in the most impossibly sultry manner possible, could anyone in that audience sit there and go, there's no way those two are not having an affair at all. And where's Jackie, by the way? She wasn't at that event that day.
Well, listen, those rumours swirled around him before he was president and while he was president. Where they rate or how they compare to the scandal of paying hush money to a porn star, I don't know. That's up to each and everybody listening to decide. But before you go, let's go way back into the mists of time for our very last presidential scandal.
Yeah, the very first impeachment, 1868, Kieran. So, you know, well into the history of the presidency, nearly 100 years. Andrew Johnson was a Democrat, but he was the vice president to Abraham Lincoln, who, of course, was a Republican. And in those days, it wasn't unheard of for members of different parties to run on the same ticket for the presidency. Can you imagine something like that happening now?
I know.
Just impossible. Can you imagine, you know, Donald Trump choosing Kamala Harris as his running mate? But this is something that happened in the mid-19th century. But he was so different to Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, of course, was the great emancipator of people who'd been living in bondage. And when Lincoln was assassinated, Andrew Johnson automatically became president. He wasn't elected by the people because he was vice president, so he stepped into those shoes. And he was, without doubt, a white supremacist.
He was an old-fashioned Southern Democrat.
Exactly, a kind
of
Dixie Democrat.
Changed over time, but back then, to be a Democrat from the South was
totally
not what
different.
It is today.
Yeah, it's really hard to get your head around that now because you think of it in very different terms in terms of the political parties. But he famously said that, you know, America is a country for white men, and as long as I'm in charge, it'll be a country for white men. And in terms of the Reconstruction era, this idea of, you know, bringing the secessionist states back into the Union, the unified fold, and also making sure that the progress that had been won in Abraham Lincoln's war, that they were actually implemented. And he was deeply against the idea of suffrage for the formerly enslaved black population. And it all came to a head in 1868 with the passage of the Tenure of Office Act.
Okay.
And this meant that if the president was going to dismiss someone from his cabinet, that he would have to get approval from from the government to do it, that he couldn't just do it willy-nilly, autonomously by himself. And he sacked the Secretary of War, who had been an old Lincoln colleague, someone who was very progressive, and he sacked him because he was too progressive, and that that he wanted more progress for the emancipated black population than the president wanted. When he did that, he broke the law, and he was impeached. But it didn't pass in the Senate. It failed by one vote, so he did not leave the presidency, just like Bill Clinton and Donald Trump after him.
He survived. Another survivor, Andrew Johnson. Will Donald Trump survive? Well, people have to pay close attention, I guess, to that story between now and November. Simon Tierney, News Talk Zone, thank you so much for talking us through presidential scandals from times gone by.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.